This week on the Red Eye Report, China is teaching your children how to be good Chinese communists right here at home. Protests turn into riots in Spain as socialists try to take over following a failed 2017 separatist attempt in Catalonia. And the United States sanctions top members of the Mexican Sinaloa drug cartel. All of that this week on the Red Eye Report. Welcome to the Red Eye Report. I'm your host, Matthew Burgess. We begin this week right here in the United States. Since the beginning of 2004, the Chinese government has sponsored Chinese education classrooms in both primary and high schools, as well as Confucius Institutes, in universities across the United States and around the world by providing funding, teachers, and textbooks. The main purpose of these institutions is to undermine academic integrity and promote censorship, according to a 2017 report by the National Association of Scholars called Outsourced to China, Confucius Institutes, and Soft Power in American Higher Education. The lessons taught in these schools and institutions include the Mandarin language and Chinese culture, but the program excludes the deadly 1989 Tiananmen Square protest, during which the Chinese government killed protesters who demanded democracy, and it also teaches that Taiwan, an independent nation, is part of China, says the AmericanMilitaryNews.com. By 2018, the number of Confucius Institutes had risen to 548 around the globe, with the first opening in the United States at the University of Maryland. With the principal target of Chinese soft power efforts being the United States, and because many American schools sought to create or expand Chinese language programs, the U.S. ended up with more Confucius Institutes and K-12 classrooms than any other country. But due to state and federal policies, these institutions were targeted for their risk to national security and thus shut down. However, in June of 2022, the National Association of Scholars found that many of these defunct Confucius Institutes had reopened their doors after the Chinese government rebranded them as the Chinese International Education Foundation. According to the University of California, Annenberg, currently, at least 18 of these Chinese indoctrination centers still exist across the U.S. on the K-12 level, in places such as the Davis County School District in Utah, Hudson Independent School District in Texas, and Simpson County Schools in Virginia. Along with university hosts such as the University of Utah, Stanford University, the University of California, Santa Barbara, the State University of New York, Albany, and Webster University, among others. While these institutions have been deemed a threat to national security, thus the crackdown and closures, it's important to note that 2 weeks ago, when speaking at the University of Hong Kong, California Governor Gavin Newsom made several remarks on how China and California should be working together in the areas of K-12 as well as higher education. Amidst these government actions, China has now seemed to take a different tact. A report from NTD News last week has brought to light the fact that China now seems to be moving to private-funded education sources in order to accomplish its goals. A company by the name of Primavera Capital, run by Chinese Communist Party member and company chairman Fred Hu, has been buying private schools and education servicing companies, such as the test prep company, the Princeton Review. He has also purchased Spring Education Group, who operates over 200 private schools, mostly in the New York State area, under the name Basis Independent Schools, as well as Tutor.com. Tutor.com has contracts with the United States military and offers classes for U.S. service members for free. But Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is having none of it. DeSantis suspended scholarships for more than 4 schools owned by the company. DeSantis was quoted in a statement as saying, "The Chinese Communist Party is not welcome in the state of Florida. We will not put up with any attempt to influence students with a communist ideology or allow Floridians' tax dollars to go to schools that are connected to our foreign adversaries." Primavera Capital's CEO, Fred Hu, is a current advisor for both Harvard and Columbia universities and formerly led the Greater China region at Goldman Sachs. Also in China, he was a lecturer at a Chinese Communist Party school and currently advises the Chinese Communist Party. He is also a member of the CPPCC of Hunan Province, the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, which is a political advisory body in the People's Republic of China and a center part of the Chinese Communist Party's United Front system. Its members advise and put proposals for political and social issues to the government bodies in China. With communist ideology being taught to children as young as primary school age and being reinforced to future leaders at our country's most prestigious schools, how long will it take for Americans to start hating America? How long will it be before everything everyone does gets put into a file so that the moment an individual has an opinion disliked by those in power, they can be publicly destroyed? How long will it be before Americans allow their freedoms of speech and religion and the right to due process and all of the other privileges that people from around the world risk their lives to come to America for will disappear? As a person who began posting about a virus escaping from a lab in Wuhan, China that was going to become pandemic in December of 2019 and was banned from Facebook in January of 2020, when the mainstream media did not begin reporting on it until March, and even though it turned out to be true, the government accused them of spreading lies and rumors, a charge that has been levied against every press and individual by every communist, socialist, and fascist government in history, I think the real question is, how long are we going to sit on our hands and continue to allow this cancer to grow? Protests turned to riots in front of the Socialist Workers' Party of Spain's headquarters on Ferrez Street in Madrid last week, when approximately 7,000 people showed up to protest the release of politicians involved in the Catalonian independence proposal back in 2017. The measure, which was originally passed on October 1st, was then declared unconstitutional on October 7th. Police deployed tear gas and rubber bullets on Tuesday night at protesters objecting to a proposed amnesty for Catalonian separatists. Protesters began taunting police with anti-Muslim chants, as well as shouting profanities at Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, a socialist seeking the release of Catalonian independence activists in prison, and even more filth at Interior Minister Fernando Grande Marlaska, in which protesters are angry about him being a homosexual. Chants included, "Pedro Sanchez is a son of a bee," and "Spain can't be sold, it must be defended." Other protesters shouted, "Spain is Christian, not Muslim," a chant that has become common in conservative Spanish circles, due to the large influx of refugees from Africa and the Middle East, who do not wish to adopt Spanish values, but, like all refugees forced from their homelands, want the people where they land to respect the beliefs and moral systems they bring with them. Other chants that could be heard include "Spain, united, will never be defeated," a nationalist take on the communist slogan, "The people, united, will never be defeated," and "With the Moors, you have no balls," implying that the police do not use similar force against Muslim protesters, a phenomenon currently being seen around the world as police from all countries are refusing to stop violent actions taken by Palestinian protesters against the Jewish people. Spanish newspaper El País documented a similar protest in Valencia, in which anti-socialist crowds insulted Sanchez and similarly denounced the increasing number of Muslim refugees in the country. While the Spanish newspapers, ABC and El Mundo, reported that the Madrid protests appeared to turn violent around 10 p.m. local time, when an alleged group of ultra-extremist disruptors appeared to throw projectiles at police. Spanish news outlet ABC, citing police sources, noted that the use of tear gas for such an event was highly unusual in the country, and that police rarely receive approval for its use. The newspaper suggested that the green light happened when police officers recognized known agitators blending into an otherwise peaceful crowd of protesters. Some sources told ABC that the use of tear gas had to have been approved by the government in Madrid, not merely by high-ranking police officers. The protests are a result of several failed attempts by lawmakers in parliament to form a government. Back on July 23rd, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez's Spanish Socialist Workers' Party won 121 seats, which is 55 seats short of the required 176 seats needed for outright control of the government. Spain's conservatives are largely split between the establishment, center-right People's Party, and the populist conservative Vox Party, which collectively secured more seats than the leftist bloc of the Spanish Socialist Workers' Party and the Somera Party, but also fell short of a governing majority. In an attempt to form a functional governing coalition, Sanchez began floating the possibility in October of offering legal amnesty to violent rioters arrested during a wave of separatist activity in northern Catalonia in 2019. Quote, "Catalonia is ready for a total reunion. Representatives of more than 80% of Catalonians support this measure," Sanchez said of his approved amnesty. "And for those same reasons, in the name of Spain, in the interest of Spain, in defense of the coexistence among Spaniards, I defend today the amnesty in Catalonia for the events that occurred in the past decade." The agreement has triggered a wave of protests nationwide from Spaniards who oppose separatism, many of them conservative voters. Conservative political leaders rapidly condemn the violence. Quote, "We came to protest peacefully. No violent act has our backing," Pepe Milan, a spokeswoman for Vox, said on Tuesday night. "Violence has no place in democracy and should always be rejected," the head of the People's Party, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, wrote in a statement on Wednesday. Finally this week, last Tuesday, the Biden administration, under the United States Department of Treasury, announced that sanctions on 13 members of the Sinaloa Mexican drug cartel, formerly run by Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, and four companies based in Mexico as part of ongoing efforts to combat fentanyl trafficking. This being the latest action in a series of measures taken this year against members of the Sinaloa cartel's cash couriers and cartel fraud schemes. Among those sanctioned was Juan Carlos Morjan Jureta, who manages cartel operations in Nogales, Mexico. In April 2021, Morjan Jureta was indicted in the United States District Court in the District of Columbia on various drug trafficking charges linked to fentanyl, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. Other individuals sanctioned included members of Jureta's family, including Jose Arnaldo Morjan Jureta, Jose Luis Morjan Jureta, Miguel Angel Morjan Jureta, Martin Morjan Jureta, and Oscar Murillo Morjan. The family members are alleged to play a key role in organizing and transporting illegal drugs and laundering money. The United States Office of Foreign Assets Control targeted four Mexico-based companies, a restaurant named Habaneros, two stone mining companies, Morjan Golden Mining, and Comercializadora Vilba, and an import-export firm, Exportadora del Campos Romos Acosta. The sanctions cut them off from the United States banking system, cut off their ability to work with Americans, and blocked their U.S. assets. The Treasury Department's Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, Brian Nielsen, said, quote, "The United States will aggressively pursue all who are complicit operators and facilitators of these illegal fentanyl networks. Treasury will continue to use its authority to expose and isolate those who profit from deadly fentanyl sales in the United States." According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, drug overdose deaths have increased more than sevenfold from 2015 to 2021, with more than 100,000 deaths each year being linked to drug overdoses since 2020, and about two-thirds of those are related to fentanyl. The Sinaloa cartel is responsible for, quote, "a significant portion of the illicit fentanyl and other deadly drugs trafficked into the United States," according to the U.S. Department of Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control. According to the Drug Enforcement Administration, which is tasked with combating illicit drug trafficking, nearly all the precursor chemicals that are needed to make fentanyl come from China, and the companies that make the precursors routinely use fake return addresses and mislabel products to avoid being caught by law enforcement. The drugs are then manufactured in Mexico before being smuggled to the United States over the border. After being sold in the U.S., the money is then smuggled south over the border to Mexican cartels, who then launder it using the aid of China. That's all for the Red Eye Report for Thursday, November 16th. If you enjoyed this broadcast, be sure to share, like, and subscribe to the Red Eye Report on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, so I can bring you more news not being covered in the mainstream more often. And also be sure to follow the Red Eye Report on X, formerly known as Twitter. Until next week, remember, if communism, socialism, or fascism is the device, and the destruction of Western democracy and freedom is the intent, The Red Eye Report will be watching. I'm Matthew Burgess. Thank you for your time.